Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Are all the children gone? Check under your pews. Two of them came back. Those two girls right there have grown up over the summer. Sometimes children just have growth spurts. They had a beauty growth spurt. You're beautiful. You're glowing. Thank you. God bless you. I'm glad you're in the sanctuary today. I'm going to start this around. You can't hurt it. You can take the lid off if you want. You can do whatever you want to with it. There's something in the front that give you an idea of what's in here. You can just take it and pass it around. It's okay to stand up and pass it back if you can't just hand it off. God has done something in my life that I pray He would do in all of our lives. I'm not the most patient person in the world. And years ago, I was much less patient than I am today. My wife can amen it and attest to that all day long. We still have moments that we're not as patient as we're supposed to be. And I don't mean, when I say we, I'm not talking about my wife and I. I'm talking about all of us, right? So about 12 years ago, I used an instrument, an old Polaroid camera that took instant pictures. And I took a picture of something and placed it in that box. And for a long time, I wasn't sure exactly why. And I just used it as a conversation starter, honestly. What's that? Well, you know, it gets a conversation started. It can be many things. It has been many things. We've talked about it over the years. But not long after that, doubting came into my mind. I just knew I had to do it. It's just one of those things I had to do. I had the camera. I had what I needed to have. I took it. I set it up here. I knew it had a purpose. And I've just been waiting on God for 12 years. For this day, at this time, for these people, from God's words, to help us understand a little bit better, to use something for God's glory and not ours. So just keep passing that around. I want to share some words with you about being the kind of person wants us to be for our best life ever, not just here, but forevermore. Question down through the ages is, why does God let this happen, and why does God let that happen, and why are there protests here, why are there protests there, what's going on in our society, what's wrong with the world? But people have always been saying that, always. The question that we ask a lot of times, and we will not verbalize this sometimes, is, do you ever wonder who God really wants you to be? Are you struggling with that? I know other people in this church, even in this church, have said, I'm still struggling with what God wants me to do in my life. Maybe it's not time yet. But there's lots you can do until that is revealed, and perhaps what you're doing right now is what God wants you to be and what He wants you to do for this moment in time. Rest in that. Put something out there for God and be okay with it until He tells you it's time to talk about it. That's part of the point of what's going around here. Even, where is it even? Is it out there somewhere? Has it come around? There it is. Okay. I talk a lot about parent-child relationships and I'm going to this morning, but I'm also When I talk about parent-child, I'm not just talking about people who have had children biologically or adopted. I'm not talking about that. I want you to understand that God's Word sometimes is not that specific. God's Word, when He talks about children, He's talking about those who are still trying to find their way in life. So, as a parent or as an adult or as a mature Christian or one that's trying to be mature, we are responsible for bringing other people along with us and helping show them the way. So, as people who love our children and love our brothers and our sisters, and as we're concerned family members, we have a desire, and I know you, and I know you have this desire. We have a desire that our loved ones will act and react in ways that are right. Right? Correct? We want our loved ones. I go back to that plane. I wish you could have been on there with me. It's ridiculous how people act sometimes and how covetous they are of the silliest things. We were all going one place. But fighting over a seat is not going to help your journey be pleasant and get there, is it? As adults, as mature Christians, we should be just as concerned about our brothers and sisters, our loved ones, and our children, that others around us act and react the correct way, right? What witness do we want this church to have? Do we want any member of this church, and I don't mean those who have signed the roll, I mean those who come to this church and worship here regularly and tell other people that they worship here. Betty brought a friend along with her. She's from Arizona. And yeah, woohoo! And this is her summertime residence. And Betty said, come and go to church with me. And I was joking, by the way, when I said, I hope you won't be disappointed. It's not about me. It's about these people. They'll love you to death. Or life, they should. None of us who attend here and say that we attend here should go out in the world and make problems for anyone else because they associate you with this place. And what they see on the outside world will tell them whether they want to be in here or not. In fact, I've heard, and I'm going to tell you this, and I'm going to say it plainly so you can hear me, because God is trying to prepare us to be the witness that we're supposed to be, the kind of person He wants you to be, the love child. You're a love child of God. His Holy Spirit anointed a young woman on this earth to have the Son, Jesus Christ, to walk and talk on this earth and tell us the right way to live. We are a blessed people. Yes, we are. And some people close to me, very close to me, said, Pastor Craig, it is good that you're not on Facebook. And I refuse to go there because I've tried it once or twice in the past, and I see junk out there that no one should ever see about anybody else. And my people closest to me have said, It's a good thing that you're not on there because people are posting things on there that you know and you would not believe what they are posting on that site. And I'm going to leave it right there. For 12 years, we have been trying to tell you about the gospel of peace of Jesus Christ. For 12 years now, we have told you that God's Word said that there's no difference between men and women when it comes to our spiritual life. That there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. There's no difference between black and white. There's no difference between yellow and red. We are all God's children. We are all made in His image. That there is one race, and that's the human race created by God. And we are called to be the person that we're supposed to be, the lover of other people. God's Word says that you have to love. Doesn't mean you have to like someone, and it doesn't mean you have to agree with their politics, but this is not the place for politics. And if you're one of God's children, you need to give it up. And God's Word is very plain about that. Give unto God what is God's, and give unto Caesar and the government what's the government's. They should not be hooked up together. This is not preaching down to anyone. I'm trying to lift this up because I want you to be what God wants you to be. He wants you to be the fullest of everything you can be that is good and merciful and kind and generous. And He wants you, Angie and Jeff, and all the other people who stood and sang, "How great thou art." He wants all of us to spread the gospel of grace. If you have received grace in your life, if you have received forgiveness in your life, then you need to give forgiveness in your life. But maybe you're not ready to preach it yet. Maybe you're not. Maybe you're not trained up in the way yet. Maybe you need to wait until God has you exactly where He wants you so that you can tell that story. Penny told her story last week. It's taken her a long time. Death of her child, going through the grief and the anguish, and it took God getting her to a special place in her life where He got her. And He did not cause Penny to be sick, but He used Penny's illness to wake her up and show her who she is. And then now she can proclaim, "My God, how great thou art." Amen, Penny? Been thinking about Penny's testimony all week. We used this scripture last week, and then we're going to move on. The scripture was in Philippians 2:13. It says this, He works in us, giving us His power to do what pleases Him. It's not about me anymore. And you become parents or you become guardians of another person's life when you're a Christian, it's not about you anymore. And young parents need to, I wish the room was full of really young parents, as it sometimes is. Young parents and those that are going to become young parents someday, if God so chooses. When you have a child, it's no longer about you. It is no longer about you. It is about raising that child the way they're supposed to be raised. Young mommies get frustrated. We were with a young mommy all week, her second child. She has she's chasing a 2-year-old and bouncing a 3-month-old on her knee. And she's our daughter, and she's fed up. She's had it. Because she hasn't slept in 29 weeks or whatever it is since that belly bump got bigger than her. And we just tried all week to be calm and tell her, if it's just us, it's impossible to get through things, but with God, all things are possible. And we raised God's name up a variety of times in Jenna's life this week, telling her to remember to thank God for all the goodness that she has, for what God has given her, and just to help her place it in perspective gently, gently, gently. Right, Mom? Gently. So I'd like you to look with me at Luke chapter 2. We were in the book of Luke. And we'll get on with how God wants you to become the person that He created. We all start out the same in this world. We come out of the womb. We talked about that. We come through the blood. We come through the water. We are all born of woman. We have a similar beginning. We are not born into equal places in life and society. That's not the way it is. But we have a similar beginning, and we need help along the way, don't we? We need help to do everything. When infants are small, they have to have everything, right? I mean, constant care, right? Constant care. It has to. And sometimes you look out at the world and you see these visions and you think, how could these children possibly survive in certain circumstances, don't you? How is it possible? And I'm thinking the same thing about churches. You see, you have to apply it to our spiritual life. How can houses of worship possibly exist without constant care and nurturing? Because there are babes in Christ in every place of worship. And when places of worship do not get care, loving kindness, if they're not treated the way they're supposed to be treated, those people that make up the body of believers, then the church will fall apart. It will dwindle. It will cease to exist. We talked to a young woman who's taking a grandmother to a church where three people attend, including her. And they're going there just for the grandmother because the grandmother is aged. And someday the 90-some-year-old grandma will pass away and then the doors may be closed forever. I don't know. This takes nurturing. This life of ours, this spiritual life of ours takes nurturing. We have to be there for each other. We can fall into a mess so easily and forget who we are spiritually and not become the church that God wants us to be. And the church that God wants us to be is made up of a bunch of individuals that God wants to grow. This life of ours, this spiritual life, takes nurturing. Thank God you're here this morning. I would have no one to tell this to. But you see, the secret is you need to go tell others about this, and then you need to be on guard and help nurture others. Where's the box? There it is. I see it. Let's look in the book of Luke at chapter 2. And let's look at verse 52 before we back up. Verse 52, the last verse in that chapter, Luke 2, verse 52. I'm a little dyslexic, so I might have said chapter 52, verse 2. I don't know. But there is no chapter 52, so suffice it to say that it's chapter 2, verse 52. And it says this. What's your Bible say? You can read out loud if you'd like. Let's get interactive with each other this morning. What's it say? And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature in favor with God and man. You know what this passage is about, don't you? If you don't, turn back to verse 41. Before verse 41 happens, Christ, the baby, is taken to a place of worship and he is introduced to the believers of God. And he is absolutely ordained by God's Spirit. God's Spirit is there in the person of a place called Simeon, right? And another lady who's going to look at this child and say, surely this is a child that belongs to God. And at a very young age, this child is where? Where's this child? In church, right? The child's in church. The parents took the child to church, even though the child was too young to know that the child was in church, right? Right? The child's there. People say, I can't come to church because my 2-year-old is too much of a mess. I'll wait till they're older and bring them to church. Wrong. Bring them to a place of worship and we'll look after them. And if they get wild in the aisles, we'll catch them. It's only so big. And we have crying rooms and we have nurseries, but they need to learn to come to be in a place of worship. And then it becomes, that's what we do. It's part of who they are. It's what we do on Sunday. Kids don't always want to come to worship on Sundays. I didn't. It was a pretty day in the mountains of West Virginia on a Sunday. We got very few of those hot days. I wanted to go swimming. And we get this. I could only go swimming when the outside temperature was above 70. Doesn't have anything to do with the water temperature. So if it was April and we got a nice warm day, we were trying to get in the swimming hole. We come out blue. And on Sundays, I can remember begging, pleading, just let me go swimming. Maybe after church. Maybe. But then I knew what was going to happen. As soon as we got home from worship, my house was going to be full of aunts and uncles and cousins and everyone. There'd be 30 or 40 people there eating one chicken. How that happened, I have no idea. And then by the time all those people left, there might be a half hour to go to the swimming hole before we went where? Church. In the wintertime, we didn't mind going on Sunday evenings, especially if it was snowy and bad. Because while the other folks were in there doing that business stuff that churches do sometimes, we could get outside on the street in front of the church and slide and make it so icy our parents couldn't leave. Not one of us fell down and broke our crown, but we did go tumbling after. We pick this story of Jesus up in verse 41, and we learn something right off the bat. It says, Jesus' parents, verse 41, went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. It means they did exactly what they were supposed to under God's law of that time. They went and celebrated the Passover at this bigger place of worship. But we know what they did every day also. They were training Jesus up in the way and in the Word. You see, because Jesus couldn't do his ministry and complete his ministry unless he knew every word of the Bible up to that point. He is the Bible from that point on, but he had to know every jot and every tittle of the Old Testament by heart in order for him to do what he had to do. He had to be trained up. And that's what a church is supposed to be. A church is supposed to be a group of people where there are babes in Christ down here and elders up here that are mature in the Word, and the elders bring the young ones along with them. And then it is passed on. You pass God's Word on, you pass the teaching on, and then they teach the others that are coming up. It's a circle of spiritual life that God intends for all of us, and we're supposed to become the people He wants us to be spiritually. But it takes training. Spiritual training. So here we go. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of the Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey, and they sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. And so when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now, so it was that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. Is this odd? Do you think it's odd that they couldn't find their boy for 3 days? It's not. Not in those days. They traveled in groups. They traveled as a family. Here we are. If you get to the point in a family of God that you entrust your children. And that's a huge trust issue, isn't it? It's huge, especially in this day and age. DJ, would you trust me with Bryson for an afternoon? Would you? That touches me down deep. Because you see, that's trust. Jesus wasn't lost. He was with his family. He was where he was supposed to be. You're where you're supposed to be this morning to hear God's word. He wasn't lost. He was just misplaced. They knew where to find him, didn't they? They just backtracked a little bit. Where did they find this Jesus? The place where he felt most comfortable. Do you feel comfortable here? Does it feel like home? Are you okay this morning? It should. It should feel good to you. It should feel like the place you're supposed to be. If it doesn't, find another place to worship. We're God's people. We're supposed to love one another. We're supposed to nurture one another. We're supposed to bring each other along. We're not supposed to cause any trouble with each other. But there was Jesus, and it's wrongly reported that there he was teaching. He wasn't teaching. He was listening, and he was asking questions. He's not ready to go yet. He's not done. Some of us are done to do this, this, and this. Maybe your ministry is this for this week, and maybe in a couple years or a couple months, you'll be equipped to do this ministry. But maybe you're not ready for something else yet. Be patient. Where's the box? Where's my box? It's mine. Give it to me. Thanks, Ruth. Listen to what happens in this story. And in verse 47, and all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. And so when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously. And he said to them, Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. They would understand it soon. But he's still not ready to go yet. He's not the person yet that God called him to be. He's still Lord Jesus in training. Believe it or not, he is. He's 12 years old here. We have fast-forwarded from a 2-year-old to a 12-year-old. And then when you see Jesus again, you will see him in the book of John walking onto the scene. And John the Baptist will declare, Behold the Lamb of God. He's ready. It's his time. And he's Jesus. It took him another 18 years to become the Jesus that God wanted him to be. He started his earthly ministry at the age of 30. When you see him here in the temple, he's still in training. Don't get worried. Don't be anxious, brothers and sisters, if you haven't found your place yet. I believe you have, though. I believe your place is here today to hear the word and to stop being anxious about who you're supposed to be. God's creating a work in you, and he's giving his power to you so that you can do his good will and things that pleases him. Philippians 2:13. Don't get anxious. Relax. Because you see what happens? You can start off like this big, red, ripe apple that I put in this box 12 years ago. And you can take a picture of it. And you can let it sit there in church. for 12 years. And it hasn't been nurtured. I could have taken this apple out and cut it in pieces. My children got me a food dehydrator a couple years. I still haven't used it. It's in the closet. I'm going to use it one of these days. Make me some banana chips or something. But I could have taken this apple and sliced it up, and I could have put it in that food dehydrator, and I could have preserved that apple, and it would have been sweet and good just to add water. And I could have taken this Polaroid picture, and I could have laminated and sealed it so it would have looked bright and nice, just like it did the moment that I clicked the camera. And everything would have been preserved and ripe, but it still would have been just the way it was. It wouldn't have been anything else. The seeds weren't taken out and planted. It didn't become another tree. It didn't bear more fruit. It dried up. It's nothing. The picture is so faded you can hardly, if I didn't tell you that was an apple sitting on top of this case, you would never know it. But when I took this picture, it was this bright, red, delicious apple sitting on top. And now it's nothing. Now it's just an empty case with an old dried up apple and a photo that is faded and almost gone. This is what happens to people's lives and to churches that are not nurtured in God's Word. You can sit in God's house for 12 years on the pulpit and let the preacher preach at you every Sunday for 12 years. And you can still be a dried up old apple and a faded picture. You get the point? You see why God let this sit here for 12 years? It was for today. It was for this moment in time. What's this church going to be? Are you going to take what you've been given here and to the outside and plant it and see trees grow and apples come out of it and good fruit? Or are we just going to sit in church and go, amen, and when's it time to leave? Even Jesus took 30 years for him to be ready to preach the gospel of peace. And what was he doing for 30 years? We know exactly what he was doing for 30 years. We know exactly what he was doing for 30 years. It's right here recorded in the book of Luke. He was in church in God's Word every chance he got. People ask me all the time, what did Jesus do for 30 years? Did he help in the carpenter shop? Well, probably. Did he play? Probably. Did he want to go swimming and fishing? Probably. Because he's all man and all God. Was he tempted? We know he was. Especially after he started his ministry. And if you go through some hard times in your life, excuse me, just think about when Jesus walked out and started his ministry. The first thing he did was go into the wilderness and be tempted. It's a natural occurrence. But he didn't end up a dried up old body and a faded picture. He's alive today. And you're proof of that. But we've got to keep it alive. And you've got to use God's Word to nurture you. That's why it's so important to come to worship. That's why Bible study is important. That's why getting together as Christians is important. I don't care if it's fishing or painting a house or baking goods or visiting someone. Getting together. And thank you, ladies, for what you're doing. It's a remarkable ministry. You're visiting. You're taking food. You're doing all the right things. You're getting out. You're ministering. You're proving that God's church is alive. We just need to be more of it. We need to kick the kids' ministry up. Everything needs to be kicked up. But remember, at the same time, we have babes in Christ that need to be nurtured and taken care of along the way, because it may not yet be their time. In fact, when Jesus performed his first miracle and his mother said that they needed help, he said, "Don't press me too hard. It's not my time." You can read all about that. Will troubles come? And we're done. I promise you. I want you to turn to the book of Acts in chapter 24. We happen to be studying the book of Acts right now. It's about your church. It's about this church. It's about the relationship that God wants you to have with other believers. This message for today couldn't be more current if God were standing here himself, and I believe he is, in his word, because we have his word. Don't you worry about the world. In fact, the scripture we read said, "Do not fear." Right? That's what we opened up with, the memory verse. If you have the word, if you have God in your heart, do not fear. This scripture in the book of Acts is about a person by the name of Paul. Excuse me. Paul's in prison. He's been accused of being Christian. Have you ever been accused of being a Christian? He's being trained up by God. He needs patience in his life. He needs all the things that we can all need and use. And he's standing, he's having to defend himself because he is a Christian. And can people anger you while you're trying to be a Christian? Well, sure they can. You can get angry in the line at McDonald's. Things will happen to you on your journey, and you'll never be done here on earth. You'll never be complete. You'll never be ready for the ministry of Jesus Christ, because there's only one Jesus Christ. You will be equipped to preach the gospel of peace in many different ways, just like singing this morning. We're teaching a Sunday school class. And don't think that you have to wait until you're this big, mature Christian to teach a Sunday school class. In fact, it's the opposite. If you have the heart for it, and I mean the heart, if you have a desire, then it's the best thing you could ever do is to become a helper and then a teacher, because it will put you in God's Word where Jesus was. It will help train you up, and you'll gain more than the kids will out of the lesson. Paul's in jail. He's in front of the judge. He's being tried for being a Christian. And he says these words, and it means so much to me, all the way down in verse 16. In verse 16, Paul is trying to become and trying to do what the Lord called him to do and to be the person God called him to be. I wish I had time to read all this to you, but I'll just tell you again, he's in trouble, he's being accused of being a Christian, he's being spat upon, he's being lied about, he's being cursed at. In fact, the scripture says he is being cursed at. You ever been cursed at by anyone? How's it feel? Horrible, right? Paul's in that situation. But he's under God's training. He's trying to do what God called him to do. And in verse 16, it says this: "All these things being the way they are," that's the very first of it, "this being so," those three little words, "this being so, I always strive to have a conscience without offense toward God and men." What's he trying to do? I know you're almost brain dead now. Listen, what is Paul trying to do? Are you the person you're supposed to, are you the person God called to be yet? I don't know, are you? But on your journey, while you're trying to become the person that God wants to be, you have to practice it, don't you? When someone gets under your skin and yells at you or curses you, the easy thing to do for the moment, the easy thing to do is what? Yell back. Curse back. Get into the argument. Then how are you going to feel just a few minutes after that happens? You're going to feel like you're the Christian you're supposed to have been? See, it's all about being trained up. I hope this isn't too much information for you. Jesus didn't wither away in His ministry. He grew and bloomed in His ministry because He was sufficiently in God's Word. Paul is also a minister in training, just like you, when we meet him here in the book of the Acts, because people didn't believe who he was. People didn't believe he was changing, Ruth. People didn't believe that he'd been trained up in the way of Jesus Christ. And so to prove himself, instead of arguing and fighting with his brother, he said, "What I do is I strive always to have peace and cause no offense to my God first and to men." Proving that he's one of Christ's children. You have a choice and I have a choice in this world. We can strive to become the person that God wants us to be, or we can just fall in with the rest of the crowd, protest everything that comes down the road. Don't be concerned about the rest of the world. Be concerned about your witness in this community for Jesus Christ. You can change a life. You can make a difference today. But you need to make the right choice. I am not well yet. I am not done. I am not completed. But I praise God, I am not a dried up apple. I praise God that the photo He has of me is not faded away yet. And I praise God that this church is alive. Don't let this church go the way of the world. Whether we're here or whether we're not, some people said, "Welcome home. We're glad you're back." It's good to be home, but we will not always be here. But you will always have God's Word. God's Word will lead you and guide you. And this church will not wither or fade away.